Today we celebrate All Saints Sunday, and it's the Sunday of the year that we remember those who have gone to sleep in Jesus and have woken up in glory. And so they may be asleep to us, but they are alive and they're standing with Christ. We remember those that will be listening on later in the prayers. I think about my mother because of that, but also some of the things that we see in our scripture text from Psalm 56, verse 8. My mom was also a record keeper. She kept a scrapbook for each of the six children, and she would put pictures into the scrapbook year after year. She had a book just for us for our school years. Children said something funny, or there was a story she wanted to cherish so that she could tell later on. She actually wrote by hand in this book the stories and the words of her beloved children and grandchildren. So we have God in our text from Psalm 56, verse 8, that you have kept a record of my tossings. You put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your record? God is a record keeper. Not because he's obsessive compulsive, but because he cherishes also all of our words, our acts. He keeps his records of all of our details of our lives because he also cherishes us as his children. Scripture says that he numbers the hair on our heads. He numbers our days. He knows the number of our days. On a day like today, it's a humbling thought, isn't it? That God knows the length of our lives. But he also cherishes those lives. Precious in his sight, Scripture says, is the death of one of his beloved ones. And so he cherishes us in this life, and he also cherishes us in the life of the world to come. Scripture says that he also has so many thoughts about us that they cannot be numbered. That if you were to count the sand on the sea, that God's thoughts would outnumber those. There's no way you and I could even number the thoughts that God has about us. So though he may escape our thoughts, and we may not live daily reminded of his presence, he is always attuned to our presence in our lives in numbering all these details of our lives. And finally, we have that detail that he keeps our tears in a bottle. I'm actually wearing one around my neck. This is a tear bottle. I bought it off Amazon for about 20 cents. These tears, our tears, God keeps and puts in his bottle because he also cherishes them. What do we do when we cry, when we tear up, or we shed our tears, but invite one another into our pain? We invite others to feel our losses, to help identify and empathize with our difficulties and our struggles, our loneliness. When we see another person's tears, it invites us to not just observe them, but to also feel what they feel. In our prefrontal cortex, we have what's called mirror neurons. It's why when you're sitting with a friend and having a meal, you are salivating when you see what they're eating and you don't have food in front of you, because we feel and we experience the other. And so when we shed our tears and when we see others' tears, it actually causes us to tear up because we're sharing with them and identifying with them. When we shed our tears, scientists say that we're actually excreting toxins out of our bodies. We're actually releasing stress hormones out through our tear ducts, while we also invite God and others to see our pain and to identify with our losses. In the book, The Shack, God is speaking to Mac, who finally sheds tears because of his pain and his loss. And God tells him, don't ever discount the wonder of tears. They can be healing waters and a stream of joy. Sometimes those tears are the best words the heart can speak. And so Jesus, in our gospel reading, he sees Mary's tears because she just lost her brother, Lazarus, who just died. He sees the tears of the other family and friends and the grief and the loss and the pain around him. He doesn't just observe it, but he's drawn into it. And he takes those tears upon himself. And we have that one of the shortest verses in the Bible where Jesus weeps. Jesus begins to weep. He takes those tears and takes that pain. He takes the burden of death upon himself. He wipes away those tears, not to eradicate them or to erase them from memory, but to take them upon himself. He takes our tears into a bottle. He cherishes our tears and brings them upon himself. These tear bottles, this one is new, but there's thousands upon thousands of these that they have found in Egypt, the Middle East, and in ancient Israel. In fact, if you go online, you can buy 2,000-year tear bottles still today. I looked yesterday, and the cheapest one I saw was for $315. A friend of mine and a colleague in Chicago, Tim Hetzner, who actually started the Comfort Dog Ministry that many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with, he went to Israel multiple times to do archaeological digs, and he had on his shelf in his office about a dozen of these tear bottles that dated back to the time of Jesus in the Old Testament. And what they would do with these is they would take precious oils, perfumes, and spices, and they would fill these tear bottles with them because they weren't great in quantity or in volume, but they were precious to the seller and to the buyer. And so in the marketplace, you would find these little vials, these little tear bottles, filled with all these precious things. And so God, with these words in Psalm 56, verse 8, God is saying that just as you cherish and value and consider invaluable spices, oils, and perfumes, so I, the Lord, consider your tears precious in my sight. And I bring them close to my heart, just as I take them from your cheeks, I bring them to myself, not just to observe them, but to cherish them, to assure us that he hears our prayers and he sees our sorrow and that he takes them upon himself in the work and the death and resurrection of his son Jesus, who himself sweat and shed tears of blood on the night that he was betrayed for us, who cried out himself on the cross for us, intervening. And so our tears aren't just excreting water from our bodies. They have become now a form of prayer because God sees them and he hears them. And he takes them to himself and cherishes them so that we would know that we have the assurance of his grace, forgiveness, and eternal life. Because of this scripture, wives during the Civil War would take tear bottles, and as they shed tears in sorrow because they were separated from their husbands, they would collect their tears in a bottle so that when their husbands would come home, they could actually show them the cherished tears that they shed in their separation. Tears are prayer. And so we should be given permission to shed those healing waters and those streams of joy. Because one day, as we heard read in a Revelation reading, one day he will wipe away all of our tears. Sorrow and pain and grief will be no more. Because he'll take those tears of sorrow, pain, and loss and make them into tears of joy. When finally we are reunited with all of those we have lost and loved. Because we'll be reunited with our Savior and our Master. We'll transmute and transform those tears into tears of reunion and joy. In the name of Jesus, amen.